We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
All right, welcome back to the Morning News with Dave Lee. Henry Lake in for Dave Lee on this Tuesday morning. That was from the 2002 debate between Walter Mondale and our next guest here on the show, Norm Coleman, who would go on to defeat Mr. Mondale in 2002 for that U.S. Senate race. Good morning, Norm. How you been?
That's a serious question, Henry. But when you reach my position, like, how you been? I'm doing well. I'm doing well. So I'll just kind of leave it at that. I still get my immunotherapy treatments every 3 weeks, and I get my cancer scans at Mayo every 3 months, and I'm doing well. Still working at Hogan Lovells, one of the great law firms in the world, and so life is fine. But I just want to say, I listened to that portion of the debate. Walter Mondale was an incredible man. I really did idolize him. I remember walking into the debate the day before the 2002 election. And as I walked in, he's already seated there. I see my friend Warren Spanis, who'd been my boss. I'd worked in Attorney General's office for 17 years. I got brought to Minnesota by Warren Spanis, and he's in the wings. He's, you know, Mondale's, you know, best buddy. And it was a strange feeling, and I really felt I was in the presence of greatness, and I wanted to win. Yeah, it's interesting. Peggy Noonan described that debate as a debate between the old lion and the young tiger, and she said at the end, the young tiger, being me, you know, was going to win the election, just the way things had proceeded, and I did in the end. But I will tell you that I had the greatest respect for Walter Mondale. I thought he was a magnificent public servant. We disagreed on policy, but I don't know if I've ever met anyone who met him who didn't like him. And so our paths crossed. I ended up winning that race by about 50,000 votes. But my respect and appreciation never diminished, even as I saw him as my opponent in that debate and in that race.
Hi, Senator. It's Steve Simpson. I'm sorry. I think we did lose Henry. So
Henry.
it's one of those things where in the age of pandemic, everybody's working virtually. And I'm actually surprised that doesn't happen more often than it does, considering how we've put this together. So
been there and done that.
Yeah.
Been there and done that.
So I picked up part of that as I was being called into service here. We've heard so much just over the last 12 hours, 8 hours, however long it's been, about just his connection with people and how I think Senator Klobuchar said in the last half hour, 45 minutes, you know, he was just as comfortable talking with heads of state as he was talking to somebody at Lund's about, you know, policy or whatever. Is that your experience with him?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because even after the election, I would run into him and Joan in the airport. Typically, we'd be going to and from Washington. He was still involved. He stayed involved. And he was just this, you know, kind of maybe it's a, you know, small town Minnesota. He's a humble, self-depreciating. I'm sure all the folks who called in and who knew him would talk about his sense of humor. Even after having, you know, run a race in which I ended up being the victor, he still had, you know, he could joke about in a way, that kind of a self-depreciating sense. And I think that was kind of part of his humanity. As I said earlier, I don't know anyone who ever met him who didn't like him as a person. We disagreed. He was a liberal icon. He was the progressive champion, you know, when he ran against Reagan. And by the way, he lost because he told the truth about taxes, about raising taxes. He wanted to balance the budget. That's a conservative principle, but it didn't fare well at that time. But I got to tell you, he was always kind to me. He was just, you know, really a unique person. In a day and age when the partisan divide is so great, when folks on the other side of that don't talk to each other, when folks dislike people because what they believe, not who they are. You know, it's I wish in many ways that we could go back to the the days of a Walter Mondale in terms of personal relationships, in terms of respecting people for what they believe, disagreeing with them, but not having that undermine your view of their humanity, of who they are as a person. Walter Mondale was a magnificent human being. He was a tremendous public servant. We disagreed on policy. We agreed on objectives. Every child should have the opportunity to be the best they can be. But we simply disagreed on the path to get there. And that shouldn't disqualify you from either relating to people, being connected with people, as it has today, as the divide has occurred today, which is, I think, a sad thing.
And I really do think that, you know, when you talked about going back to that time, I wonder how both you and he would fare in today's political climate, given where we are.
That's a good question. It breaks my heart. And I talk to him. I'm still going to connect with my friends. We're the old guys now, you know. So Lindsey Graham and I got like 2,000. Richard Burr, John Thune, 2 years. These are so good friends. I get together with them on a regular basis. I can tell you that they're not pleased with kind of where things have gone with the kind of the deep divide. And unfortunately, leadership, both the past president and so far this president, we haven't seen a lot of bridging the gap. We haven't seen a lot of let's pull together. We keep hearing about it. We keep talking about it. But we haven't seen it, and that's true, you know, whether you're looking at the COVID bill, you're looking at, you know, things being done by one party, 50 votes. I don't know if we can go back. Maybe we can't. But I think we lose something. I was always brought up, and I teach my kids, you may not be the same. Somebody may have a better idea than you. How about listening to them? With Fritz, we were political opponents, but we weren't enemies. And as I said, I had the greatest respect. And I will tell you, this is an observation. People don't yell at me. But I think one of the reasons I won that election, well, in big part I won because of the Wellstone funeral that became a rally. And that was kind of it moved a lot of people. It was unpleasant to see, and a lot of people reacted to it. But in the debate, I think Fritz's advisors wanted him to show that he was young. And so he was actually pretty tough. He was, in a way, a little harsh. And I, because maybe perhaps I was so awed, I really kind of stepped back. I called him Mr. Mondale the whole time, or Mr. Vice President, excuse me. Called him Mr. Vice President. Mm-hmm. And I think as I watch, I'm in the debate, watching the debate, I'm thinking, you know, they've got him to be a lot more aggressive. That's not the Fritz Mondale that I know and everybody knows. And I think it may have had an impact. That's just, you know, one person's observation. You know, sometimes you're in a setting and you're watching the setting. And so I was in it, watching it, and thinking, I think he was just aggressive. And I think they wanted to show that he was young or whatever. He was an incredible human being. He was a great public servant. And I don't know if we'll see one like him again, but Minnesotans of all stripe, Republicans and Democrats, should be thankful for his service. Whether they agreed or disagreed with him, it was a great model of service.
Well put. Former senator, former mayor of St. Paul, former DFLer, now Republican. Senator, great having you on, Norm Coleman. Thank you so much.
The very best. Thank you.
All right. Take care. It is 8:20 here on WCCO.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.